love to hear sharing the word of God with you. I really appreciate the beginning and that Tom allowing me to do this. It was what? Oh, I'm too tall.
That's good.
Thank you. But realize how important the word of God is. And every time you get up and share it, and you're like, that without God's Spirit, whether it's our music ministry, whether it's our deacons meetings, whether it's our building committee or steering committee, we need God's power. We need God's strength. And I've been so convicted over the last months in my own life that I need to get back to a real place of prayer. And that's our comment this morning. I want to pick up on some of the things Pastor Tom has been dealing with in the last few weeks when we talked about John's gospel and the high priestly prayer that Jesus gave, and how important prayer was to Jesus. And my feeling was that prayer is important to Jesus. It should be important to me. It should be important to us. And so it's probably something I'm sharing with you this morning that I'm not new. They're not first shadow. They're not wild. But I think that are just what God wants from us. I tend to believe whatever He has me preach, He puts me through things. That when I'm sharing, it comes to the fact that it's where I need to be God. And that He could use that place of meeting Him that I can meet with you with what He has shared with me. And my feeling is I showed it to the kids this morning, but not showed it, that God calls. We sometimes forget that God is a God who's alive. God is a God who speaks. He sometimes speaks in a still, small voice, Scripture says. But we need to listen. And the less time we listen, the voice gets farther and farther away. And we can't live with yesterday's voice and yesterday's spirit. We need to live with God's Spirit today. We need to hear God's voice today. I need to get up in the morning and hear God speak to me today. Because I can't make it without Him speaking to me. And so that's the heart that I am coming from this morning. That really felt very strong. Jane was sharing with me a quote from Philip Yancey. His book on prayer, Does It Make a Difference? And Yancey writes this. If prayer stands in the place where God and human beings meet, that I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes. Why God doesn't act the way we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. Prayer is the precise point where those themes come together. Prayer is that focal point where it's been God's in charge, God's working, and I need to trust Him. And then I need to respond to what He wants from me. There is that power of prayer. So it appears to me in Scripture, prayer is such a vital link to God. It's a vital link for you and I to our power, to our strength, to our love, to our joy. Without prayer, we dry up. We focus on the Word, we talk about the Word, but if you don't pray, that Word does not come alive. You need to be living in the power of prayer. I need to be learning to live in the power of prayer. It appears in Scripture Jesus knew how important the power of prayer was. It tells us in the Gospel of Mark, that verse 35, it says this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to his own place where he prayed. The disciples came and tried to find him. And said, what are you doing? He said, I need to pray. I need to be out with my Father. I need what? To be recharged, re-energized, refilled. I need to be with my Father. I thought, if God, the Son, needed to be with His Father in prayer, what does it say about my life? Jesus was the perfect person. Part of the Godhead. Fully God, fully man. But what did He do? Pray. He said, I need to pray. So that was kind of the focus that I felt so strongly that God wants that in our lives. I thought as Pastor Tom preached the last couple of weeks on prayer, Lord, you confirmed to me this is really where you want us to be. If we want revival in this church, prayer has to be a bottom line in our lives. We want revival in our own lives. Prayer must be there. There can be no fire unless there is the breath of the Spirit. The breath of the Spirit comes from God in prayer. And we need to stay in that place. And so as I begin feeling this way, God has pummeled me, has beaten me down, saying, Bill, I need you to talk to me. I need you to speak to me. I need you to listen to me. Because you do not have the strength of your own. And I think that's where God has pulled me, pushing me, directing me. So that is a way of getting our attention. Not just by cell phone. But here's a way of getting your attention. He smacks you in the face saying, do you have the joy in there? Do you get up and believe that I'm going to do something great in your life today? Do you really believe that I am going to make a way when there is no way? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that I can speak to you, direct you, and guide you for people in your life today? That I brought? Do you believe that I can give you words to speak to transform people's lives? Well, you used to, right? He said that. He said, well, maybe it's time to go back in the knees. It's time to get in prayer house and seek my face. As Chronicles said, as well, if we seek his face in prayer and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. And what will he do? Pour out a blessing. Simple words. Prayer. The power of prayer. I think getting to it, the scriptures to it, is that God says we need to do this. Family planning is told Timothy. So God has put us here. God has put this, a year and a half ago over that, our church is grown now. We formed a whole bunch of committees. We had the steering committee, the building committee, the insurance committee, but we also had a prayer committee, building for eternity. And they came to Jane and said, Jane, would you be willing to run this prayer committee? I go, okay, I'm not sure, but we'll go ahead and do the prayer thing. And it's been 3 weeks, year and a half, we've been meeting every other week. And here's my confession. There are some Monday nights and Tuesday nights when we do it, that I'm like, I am tired. I've worked all day, I'm worn out. I don't want to do this. I'm going to do it now. Lord, And I said, okay, Lord, no, we said, we do this. In every single time we spend that hour in prayer, when everybody else leaves the prayer warriors, I can't observe the Jane go, I feel better. I feel good. I feel positive. Why? Because I spent time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the people who believed in him. And saying, like, duh. Don't you understand, Bill, that's really what it's all about. Praying. So just so you know, that's part of the other issues going on. I know sometimes I've been wrong too busy. Lord, I don't have time. Lord, I'll get you. And God said, you can't get you. You need to do it now. We're to pray without ceasing. Constant prayer. Do I do that? No. Do I want to do it? Yes. Do I want that power? Yes. Do I want that joy? Yes. Do I want to believe in miracles? Yes. But they all have to come not from me, not from building up faith, but from one who lives inside of me and allowing him to go through. And that's where I come to our scripture text from the Gospel of Luke. We heard the prayer of sons, so we wanted to do by class. But it says there in verse 1, one day Jesus was praying. Oh, one day he was praying? Okay, gotcha. In a certain place, when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. This is John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Didn't the disciples pray? They had Jewish prayers, they were Jewish people, they went to the temple, they prayed, but there was nothing seemingly there. It was ritualistic, there was no power, there was no energy. Somehow they saw something in Jesus and his prayers and, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think in most cases, I should stand here this morning, that you're saying, you're preaching the choir, we know we should pray, Bill. We know we should be on our knees. We know that. And I think those who are Bible believing Christians all know that. What prayer can they do? But do we do it? Do we do it? And I sense in this first section of the idea is that the disciples had a plea. It was a desperate plea. Jesus, teach us to pray. Actually, we see something different to do. We have a desperation. Please help us pray. Please show us to pray. And sometimes we need to get to that point where it's a plea from our heart. And if we have that plea from our heart, we realize we didn't need the position of what should our position be in prayer. And then if we have that right position and we have that plea, we will find the power of prayer. And once you find the power of prayer, you will find a peace that passes all understanding. And you'll be amazed as you go through life, because there is going to be a peace that surrounds you, enveloped you, and confounds people around you, saying, you should be upset, you should be worried, you should be anxious. You're saying, yep, yeah, God's good under control. He's in charge, not me. I get up, came this morning, and I'm still committed back up to Him, because He's in charge. So the idea is, Lord, I want this to happen. I want it all to go. So the first thing is this, please, Jesus, teach us to pray. He was a great preacher, scholar, Howard Hughes. Some great books I read years ago. And I love what he said here. He said, several years ago, I was at a Methodist pastor's conference. He said, I want you to think about this. He said, if you open your Bible and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read every part of the Gospels, there is nowhere in the Gospels where the disciples say, teach us to witness. There's no place that says, teach us to do miracles. Not there. Teach us to tell, not there. The only place they come out and say, please teach us, is prayer. Will you teach us to pray? They kind of recognize, if you're going to do miracles, you need prayer. You're going to walk the walk, you need prayer. If you want the power to do life, you need prayer. And so I hear that none of those stuff works unless I have prayer. And so the baseline for the disciples was, can you teach us to pray? And so it's an interesting thing about that. And how's it going to be? Nowhere else do disciples say, teach us, guide us, direct us, tell us about it. Another thing that Professor Hendrick said was this. Can you imagine what life with Jesus Christ was like? During His ministry on earth, one amazing experience after another. You think you're walking with Jesus. He goes along to the man dead 4 days, and he says, come forth, and this guy comes out alive. Whoa! A guy comes along, he's blind, he goes, good deal. He sees! Person called leprosy. Jesus blessed him, his leprosy is gone. Man, I don't know about you, maybe not like me, but I'd be overwhelmed. I'd be, whoa. Who is this? They came to realize this is the Son of God. This is God. God incarnate. That's important. They recognize He was God. But then they said, He's God. We believe He's God. We believe He's the Messiah. But now, is that enough? Good. Teach us to pray. We see all this stuff here. But for some reason, we're seeing all that stuff comes through prayer. Whenever Jesus was to do anything, He prayed. Before He did. Before He raised Lazarus from the dead. He prayed, and then He went there, and then He spoke out loud in John chapter 11, saying, Father, thank You for hearing me. And responding and going to raise Lazarus. He said, I want to say that so everybody else knows that it's not me. Because Jesus says in John 15 and John 14, the Son of Man can do nothing in Himself. Everything you see me do, I do by the will and the power of the Father and the Spirit. And the more I thought about how important the Trinity is in our lives, you recognize that we need to have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to get a hold of the Father, and we come to the Father through the Son. We are brought into adoption according to the Romans chapter 8, that we now have the ability to say, Abba Father. That's what comes to our Father prayer. Abba Father, why? Because Jesus put us in a place of relationship. He says, now you have this power, because now you can go right to the Father in relationship. And you have to meet Him like that. But what you're going to do is has to come through the power of the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked a lot about the fact that when you see me cast out demons, it's by what? The power of the Spirit. Don't look at me. My power comes from Him. He said, without the Father, I can do nothing. I thought, but you're God. What greater example of prayer than fully God, fully man saying, you don't understand. for me to do what I'm doing, I need complete communication with my Father all the time as I walk in human flesh. My strength, my power is there. Think about what he was mentioning to people. He also was bound to him and he'd leave. And he'd leave, and what did he leave? He left him to a solitary place to pray, to be charged back up again, to be strengthened again, because virtue and power and anointing was going out of him. And that's really what prayer is about, did you not? The idea is that we live in this world which is filled with sin, evil, horrible things that sap you of strength. And when you say, Lord, I have a pain in my heart, teach me to pray. I need to learn how to pray. I need to get back in prayer. I need to get there with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So when Jesus was here, life on earth for Jesus was everything. So his attitude was the fact that he wants us to have a plea for prayer. Let's get hunger for prayer. Say, the Holy Spirit, give me a hunger to pray. Wake me up, you need me. Call me tonight, like you did Samuel. Wake me up. Get me praying. Get me on my knees. Help me to do that, Lord. And the key is that he says you have to have that hunger, that desire, that saying, I don't like it when my life's going. There is no power, there is no joy, there is no strength, the love is not there, there is nothing that I need. I am so anxious and worried. I need your power, I need peace. The good thing is, go to your prayer closet. Seek my face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing is, peace to pray. Have a hunger for prayer. Secondly, you need to have the position of prayer, which I believe comes on when he says, our Father who art in heaven. How will that mean? The idea is, what's our position? I am totally dependent on God. My position must always be, without him, I can do nothing. The same way that Jesus said about the Father's God. As you and I, believers today, have got to come to a point saying, my position is of utter dependence on God. That's my position. I will sin, I will lie, I will cheat, I will fall apart when I stop depending on the Lord. I may think I'm good enough, I may think I'm smart enough, I may think I have quote unquote moral character, but I am a sinner, saved only by grace. My ability to do anything right is all about my dependence on his blood, on his grace, on his strength, on his power. If that's Tom talking a little bit about the vine and branches, as John knows about it, that Jesus said, he's the vine, the branch. I mean, I can water the leaves, but unless that vine is sucking up from, that branch sucking up from the vine, there's not going to be any life left in that. I think the same way I felt like, I watch flowers come back and water the tops of them sometimes, and people can also be clear today. Because I got to get some water into the roots. I need to get deep down. And the Lord reminded me, that's you and me. You can't depend on the little dribbles on Sunday morning giving you enough to keep you going. You can get your roots down deep, like Psalm 1 said, into the Lord, sat great in his strength, total, absolute dependence. And I think Jesus wanted to make sure that you understand something and say, I'm God, yes. But you realize my power here on earth is based on this total dependency on my Father. Not my will, but his will. I want to find out what he wants me to do. Even when I find myself struggling in the garden with Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but your will be done. What he was praying. The disciples didn't get it. But Jesus got it. And I need to say, Lord, I need to get it. Teach me to pray. Help me understand it's all about my position in Christ. I am free in Christ, but then I am positioned to be totally dependent on Christ. And that's hard for most of us Americans. I don't know about you, but I've always felt like, okay, God, I can do this. I can handle it. I can teach this lesson. I can preach this sermon. I can, smile at people. I can be nice to people. Okay, I can do this. No problem, but they don't say it that way. But how many times do I feel one thing? And God says, whoops. Your attitude should be the same attitude as in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself, became a servant, totally dependent on his Father. But you need to be totally dependent on me. Of course, money, you've never done it before in your life. He said, you know, it's like Peter, James, John, Jesus.
You know, that guy is in.
But they decided, let's go fishing. We were fishing. They went out in the water, they started fishing. They said, oh my, professional fishermen. In the morning, they had nothing. Nothing in their nets. And Jesus comes along and says, three nets on the left side. You go, look, we know the Sea of Galilee backwards and forwards. We are training fishermen. We've been doing this all night. There are no fish there. Sorry. You say, don't worry about that. They put their nets down, and then they find a boat, a fish. Because when they depended on themselves and their expertise and their abilities, they failed. When you and I depend on our abilities, we fail. It's when we depend totally, completely on the Lord. So the first thing is you need to have a plea. The second thing is you need to realize that I need to stay in a place of servant, dependency, utter dependency. Unless you do this for me, Lord, I will fail today. Unless you give me stability, I will lose it. I need you every moment, moment by moment, Sabbath breath. The power of God begins to flow in you when you give it. I love the fact that Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it is not I live. I live now by the power of the Son of God. But we can say, Lord, Bill is dead. The life I now live, I live by the power of God. But I bet anything charged up to that power. You drain that battery. You're not good for much. Prayer brings you back to the power. So my position is dependence. I please anyone, teach me to pray. I want to pray. Is prayer basically reading the Our Father? I know. Because here's the motivation of prayer. It's all about God first. If you read the first parts of it, Our Father, we have hallowed thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as in heaven. Then it goes to our needs. But always start with God first. So you resist the total dependency. And it's based on the fact that you are now children of God by the blood of the Lamb. This is how adopted you. We call Abba Father. You come into His position saying, it's not because I'm good, it's not because I'm righteous. I am a sinner, guilty. I'm coming in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Dad, you're going to listen to me because He bought me to come into your family. He adopted me. I'm part of your children. And you said, now whatever I ask in His name, you'll do. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. It flows when you begin to believe our Father who art in heaven. So the key is position. The key is pleading. The key is power. But power really comes when you allow Him to flow through you. When you say, I can't pray, Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would give us the words of prayer. The Holy Spirit would guide us. He said, I'm not going to leave you with orphans. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to lead you in more prayers. So trust Him and pray. You don't have to pray like Pastor Tom. You don't have to pray like Jimmy Booth. You don't have to pray like Charlie. You don't have to pray like James. You pray. Set that in your heart. The most powerful prayers I ever hear are people who pray in simplicity. They don't know all the scripture sometimes. They know all the words sometimes. But they know our Father. They know the Father. And they know the Father will not give them a stone when they pray for. So the Father will take care of their needs because He's a heavenly Father who loves them. And He who gave His only Son for them, how much more will He not give us what we need according to Romans 8? Power and prayer are saying, this is not just talking in the air, talking in the wind. I'm talking to the awesome, almighty creator of the universe who says, come into the Holy of Holies, I've made a way for you to come right. Do we do it? Should we do it? Indeed. The power comes. And when the power comes, the peace comes. Because if no one's living and said, you know, that we are well, the answer's for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. But everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made to God, made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard, umpire, and rule your life joy that has come from it. You'll have that fire in your heart and mind. So therefore, have a plea. In the book of 2 Chronicles, there's another section about prayer and incense, where we're told in 2 Chronicles that Hezekiah, who had followed an evil king in chapter 29, realized he wanted Israel to turn back to God. And I'm close with this. He realized the temple had been messed up. He said, I want the Bible. He brought the priest back. He told the priest, go in, cleanse the temple, start praying, and let's see the power of God starting to flow. So if you'll read 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 1 through 11, you'll see what Hezekiah realized, the power of God coming back in Israel, where they were so great, needed people to get back into the temple and pray. But part of that praying part was saying, you can pray, but before you pray, you need to purify your tongues. And even as Jim was praying with that, Lord, I come here, a sinner, cleanse me, purify me, wash me. That's where it goes back to Chronicles when Solomon had the temple dedicated. God spoke, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal the land. Pretty fine. I don't know about you, but I want revival. This world is crying out for revival. Not same status quo. We need revival in our own personal lives. We need revival in our own church. We say, Lord, we want the fire of God falling in our life. And that will come as we get into our prayer closets and we seek the face of God. Then, Lord, here's the answer. Here's the pinnacle. Here's where the power comes when I talk to you, when I listen to you, and I leave knowing that you've heard me. And what I love is what Jesus said. Father, I know you're always here. And Jesus said, I've given you who believe in my name, washed by my blood, given a new born-again experience. I give you the same privilege. That every time you speak, he hears. I love the song members of you that says, no word of God speak. I'm saying, Lord, I need to hear your voice. Like you call Sam, I need to hear you. I need to listen to that still small voice. Because you're speaking, for some reason, I stopped hearing. But I want to hear. I want the light. More light in my heart, in my spirit, in fire. And I believe it comes from prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us everything that we need in Jesus Christ. You have empowered us by your word and by your spirit. Lord, you have given us the privilege to be a people that are dynamic, different, unique in this world that is evil. And I pray for this congregation, I pray for each individual, I pray for myself, that Lord, somehow, some way, that as we reflect prayer, that it not just be broken, and not be something we think we should do, but Lord, I pray you put a fire in our hearts that we know that we can't survive and die. I pray, Lord God, that you'll be a new movement in each one of our homes and minds, that prayer becomes a priority in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to remove all that pride, thinking we can do it, and put us in a place of utter dependence on you, that allow us, Lord God, to believe that it's not by might, not by power, but it's by your spirit that we transform. Bring us to prayer. Bring revival. Bring fire. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me as we stand ready.